forward. We're going to continue our series called Family Matters. And with that in mind, you can put it up here. All right, this is for you. We're just going to just share our heart with you about family. I think that family is a blessing from the Lord. If you weren't here earlier, we announced that Levi and Jen got engaged this past weekend, and we're really excited for them. And we're excited because we're a family. And I think as a church, we're a family, and we need to, you know, be excited and celebrate together. But, like, family is for a lot of people, it's a struggle. For a lot of people, it's a lot of guilt, it's a lot of shame, it's a lot of, you know, pain and pressure. And like I said last week, I know people who have been so estranged from their kids, or kids that have been so estranged from their parents that they never talk to them, even unto death. And I just don't ever think that that's healthy or what God planned. The Bible said children are inheritance of the Lord. And so as we parented together and as we created a family together, we really wanted to do life God's way. It's one of the things we committed to on our wedding day, prayed about on our honeymoon, because we really believe in the power of God to work through families. Talked a little bit about last week about how, you know, like our families are, they matter to us, but they matter to God, but they matter to the whole community around us. That our family actually makes ripples. It actually, the things that we decide personally have an effect on the community around us, the church community, our neighborhood, everything. And so when we make decisions, they're not only personal, but they affect those around us. So the decisions we make, we have to make with a sober heart. We have to make them with God's kingdom in mind. We have to make them with the idea that they don't only affect us, but they affect others. So it really is important for us, as we strategize, as we build families, and we talked about this, you know, whether you're 8 today or whether you're 80, you're still working on family, whether you're working on building, keeping relationships strong between you and your kids, or whether you're working on keeping relationships strong between you and your parents and your grandparents, whichever way, we want to have strong relationships and families. So today we're just going to share a few more ideas with you about what we felt was important as a family. And hopefully this will help you. So, Christine, are you ready? You want me to start? Okay, I'll start. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is using your words wisely. Use your words wisely. Or I think what was the point you said?
Importance of words.
Importance of words. So our words affect our life and reflect our heart. Our words affect our life and they reflect our heart. And they affect our family. So how are your words doing? How are your words doing? It's one thing that I struggle with a bit. Honestly, Christine helps me a lot with this area because I can sometimes get a little negative. I can get a little down on myself or get down on others a bit. And Christine's very positive, so she'll just encourage me to be more encouraging, right? Like Ralph, like... not how we talk in our house, right? But anyway, that's good. And you'll find in most relationships, in most families, there's people that are good at one thing and people that are good at other things. And we just have to lean on the people that are the best at it so that we could be strong together, right? So one of the things I know is this world does not hand out authentic praise willy-nilly, right? Like, it's not like people just are, like, authentically praising people in this world. It's kind of a tough place. Sometimes people can be really harsh, but we need to use our words wisely in our home. Use them to bring security and bring confidence to our children and our spouse. I hear a lot of parents say negative things about their kids and their prospects for the future. Like, I think it's really not wise to talk about your kids or talk about each other in a way that will limit your prospects for the future. I think, like, our words are really powerful and they create things. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of it. I actually believe these words. I believe they're that words are a really creative force. And many of us as adults have spent our life trying not to live up to the words that people have spoken over us as children. Like, I made quite a few bad choices when I was younger about career paths and stuff like that. And I remember when I was 15, I was making a big decision in my life. And it probably wasn't the wisest decision, but it was my decision. And I remember the pastors that we had at the time said to me, if you go down that path, you'll never amount to anything. Your life will be a waste. And I went down that path. And I've spent my life with those words rattling around in my heart. And when things don't go that good here, when I feel like we're struggling, those words are just like, yeah, you see, you'll never amount to anything, right? So I'm a 54-year-old man. This was the decision I made when I was 15, and I still hear those words. So I'm just telling you, people, words are powerful. Choose your words wisely. Speak life over your kids. Why don't you go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, words can really cut right to your heart, right, and cause a lot of destruction. We need to remember that I had every word, but actually the Bible talks about there's some idle words, which are just sort of useless, that we'll actually have to give an account for also. But most words have great power and some kind of effect. What we say today is what we end up living tomorrow. So don't go around saying, my kid is such a pain in the butt, right? You're going to live that for the rest of your life, right? We need to speak good things about who our kids are, who our spouse is, also, and especially over ourselves. What are you saying about yourself?
Right.
It starts there, actually. Actually, it starts with, what does God say about you?
Right.
That's where it starts. So when you need to learn that so that you can agree with him. And what does God say about your family and about your kids, about your spouse? So we need to line our words and our thoughts up with that. Your words can cause great ruin in home and relationships. But the flip side of that is, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So death kind of jumps out, but life, we can bring great life into our homes and to every part of our life through our words. So that should be our focus, is bringing life. If we're focused on bringing life, then there'll be no death, right? We won't have to worry about that. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. So I think sometimes we need to slow down in our responses, in our comebacks, in just if something's bothering us, like just give yourself a few minutes to think before you respond, right? Don't be reactive. Because words can't be taken back once they're out there. And they have an effect. Why is this? Let's see. In Genesis, God said, God spoke, and what God said, God saw. Right? It says, God said and God saw. Well, when God created man, God put his breath into ourselves, right? We became alive by the power and the breath of God. So we have God's breath in us. So we also have power in our words to speak and to see. And that's a fearful and something we really need to take seriously and with responsibility. It's a responsibility. We have God's breath in our lungs, but it's also, he gave it to us like that for our benefit, so that we could actually make change with our words and create things, create good things, just like he does. So that's actually a huge blessing that we have God's breath in our lungs, and we can create great homes, great families, great relationships with what we speak. God's word is living and active and full of power. So when we're in line with that, our words are the same. Let's see. And there's some verses about the tongue in James chapter 3, talking about with how it's so hard to control the tongue. Would you agree with that?
True.
Yes. I think all of us have experienced that with ourselves and with others. And So it says, would this be verse 9? With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So blessing and cursings come from the tongue, and we need to get rid of the mixture that's in there.
Right.
And we shouldn't be fault-finding and complaining, which is hard at home because I get irritated by stuff.
Yeah. She looked at me.
Well, I'm just looking at you for to confirm because you know.
Yeah, it's irritated
right?
at
no.
me. I'm joking.
Don't you get irritated at stuff?
Yeah, I get irritated at you too.
I know. Just looking for an agreement.
Awesome.
That's all.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So.
Right on.
Yeah, so
I agree.
We need to don't focus on that kind of stuff, right? Don't continually complain and fault find. When you look at what's good, then we have so much more good and things to be thankful
right.
for than,
amen.
You know what? And I just kind of get to points where I kind of decide, you know what? It's not worth me getting tense and uptight and grumpy about little things. I mean, even the dog, right? He leaves socks and shoes everywhere.
I get grumpy about that.
Yeah, but I mean, I just decided, hey, I like steps, I like exercise, I'm just going to bend over and pick it up and put it away every time I see it. So, and
yeah.
it's way easier and way less stressful and way less energy.
Yeah.
And then I just smile because I just think the dogs, I like them. It's cute.
Has its moments.
But, yeah, so... Actually, the Bible tells us not to complain. So complaining is really a sin, right? We need to live lives of thankfulness to the Lord.
Right.
So complaining is a sin. When we think of that, then maybe that'll help us. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing.
Right.
So there we go. Speak positive words over our family. Focus and praise strengths. Never name call or tear down, especially in jokes or nicknames. Sometimes we have. Right?
We could be a little sarcastic, me and my boys.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a fine line, I think,
yeah,
right?
Between,
because I sometimes think we make jokes and sarcasm, but sometimes there's a little bit of truth to the jabs that we sometimes give one another. And even though we might be joking, it can still hurt others, and those words can stay with them for decades and decades.
Right.
It's very hard to overcome words spoken. So we need to be careful and make sure everyone is on the same understanding. So, and speaking blessings. In the Bible, it talks about, well, the prayer of Jabez. Jabez prayed, bless me indeed. So you can pray. God is good with us praying for blessings
right.
over ourselves and over our family. The priests were commanded in the Old Testament to say a blessing over the people every time they got together. So it's very important to bless
right.
yourself. Ask God to bless you.
Yep.
Ask God to bless your family
right.
every day and to use you to bless
right.
them.
Right. Oh. Right on. Speaking of blessing, I was one of the scriptures I prayed over my kids since they were born, and just about most days since, even still now that they're grown men, is this scripture found in Isaiah 54, verse 13 to 17. It says, I just pray it this way. So there's, I changed the words a little bit, forgive me, my prayer. This is an exact according to the scripture, but it's the scriptural intent. It says, all my children, I pray this, Lord, all my children will be taught by the Lord. Levi and Logan will be taught by you. That's a powerful, that sentence right there is so powerful, right? That if we really trust in the Lord, our children will be taught by him. All my children will be taught by the Lord. And your children, my children, will have unlimited peace. If you know my boys, that's who they are. This is power in the words. They're peaceful. Like, they're good. They will be established in righteousness. They will be far from oppression, for they will not be afraid. They will be far from destruction, so it won't come near them. If anyone attacks them, it will not be because of the Lord. Whoever attacks them will be defeated by them. I've created the blacksmith to fan the coals into flames and to produce useful weapons. I've also created destroyers to bring destruction. No weapon that has been formed against them will be made to be used. No weapon that's been made to be used against them will succeed. They will have an answer for anyone who accuses them. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Their victory comes from me, declares the Lord. And if you hear me stumbling over it a bit, it's because I usually do it out of the King James. So it's just, this is a little easier. But this is a prayer of faith for my sons, right? This is something I pray in faith and confess in faith that God would bless them. And we've seen him bless them. Did you have anything else to say on that point?
Nope.
So I just have a couple more, like what Christine said about you could take time. You don't have to just shoot your mouth. This is something Bob taught me when I first started pastoring. My dad passed away quickly, became senior pastor of the church, was in a succession plan that should have been 10 years, but lasted about 2 hours. About 2 years. So Bob was kind of helping me out and mentoring me quite a bit at the beginning. And one of the things he taught me was you don't have to answer anybody today. You don't have to answer today, right? And that's helped me to just slow down my thought process, even in the home. So right away, I don't have to spout something out. I can just take a moment, breathe, wait, and then move forward. So I want you to think about that.
Go ahead. It's just that we should practice thankfulness in our homes.
Right.
Spirit of thankfulness, very godly. So just be thankful.
Yeah.
Wake up and be thankful. List off, you know, a few things. If you start out your day with a few things you're thankful for and thank the Lord, thank others, you're going to have a better day. So it's Psalm 104 says, although I don't have it written here, but it says that we need to say, not just be thankful, but say so. So talk your thankfulness, speak it out. There's a great book, too, about confessions written by Joel Osteen. Just a little suggestion if you'd like some good power confessions. I think Joyce Meyer has a book of power confessions, too, which I haven't read yet. But the one by Joel Osteen has 31 little devotionals and confessions that you can say through the month. And they're awesome. So it's just a good thing. When I read that this year, I would say the confession for myself and for each member of my family. I would speak it through and just confess that for them. So it's good. It's cool stuff to do for your family for their spiritual well-being and physical well-being too. Really, God wants all of that in our mind, the whole works. Yep.
Says let no in Ephesians 4:29 says let no foul or polluting language, and so many times we think about that as cursing or swearing, but really foul and polluting language, the Bible says no corrupt communication. The word foul or polluting here actually means to change from a sound to a putrescent state. That means rot, right? Like, so when we pig farm, you see the pigs and they would be like dead and then they would swell. And it was just gross, right? But that was what happens with our words. It says, let no foul or polluting language, no evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. Then it may be a blessing and give God's favor to those who hear it. I just think like words are such a powerful thing. And sometimes Christine said this, but self-talk, right? If you're always saying to yourself, I can't do it, I can't make it, you know, if you're, you know, I'm going to be, you know, my family was sick, I'm going to be sick, or, you know, I'm 28 years, 27, 26, and I'm not married, I'm never going to get married, or whatever the situation is, you got to stop, and you got to start speaking God's truth out of your mouth, because God's truth is really the overriding thing. We have a short video we want to show you right now, and then we're going to get right back to this, okay?
20 things we should say more often. Number 20, thank you. And not just on Thanksgiving, every day. Number 19, excuse me. Number 18, here's a surprise corn dog that I bought you because you're my friend. There'll be more corn dogs for more happy people. This is a good idea. Corn dog for you, corn dog for you, corn dog for you. Number 17, I'm sorry. Number 16, I forgive you. Number 15, you can do it! But don't say if it's something I can't do. Number 14, another thing that we should say more often, I have barbecue sauce in my shirt too. Before you say something about the barbecue sauce on somebody else's shirt, take a look at the barbecue sauce on your own shirt. Number 13, please. Number 12, everything is going to be okay. Number 11, oh, you got me a corn dog too? You shouldn't have, buddy. Number 10, I don't know. I know a lot of people who need to say that. My sister. Number 9. You're so awesome, I named my dog after you. Oh, wait, wait. That could hurt someone's feelings. I mean, boat. I named my boat after you. Wait, who even has a boat? You're so awesome, I legally changed my name to yours. Wait, that's super creepy. Just tell people they're awesome and mean it. Number 8. Hello, person I never met before. Here's a high five. Number 7. My sports team is not always the best sports team. It takes a big man to say that. Number 6. Nothing. Sometimes that's the best thing you can say. Number 5. Doesn't mean anything, but it's just really funny. Number 4. I disagree with you, but I still like you as a person who is a human being, and I treat you like that. Because if I didn't, it would make everything bad, and that's what lots of people do, and it's lame. Whew, I need a water break, y'all. It's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be mean. Number 3. Sometimes you just gotta scream. Wah! Number 2. Life is tough, but so are you. Sometimes we all need to be reminded to keep going. Number 1, something nice, anything. If you can't think of anything nice to say, you're not thinking hard enough. So what about you? What do you think people should say more often? Leave a comment below and let's hear it. Oh, and I got a bonus one for you. Something that we should say more often? Let's dance!
Okay, point number 2. Treat with respect and love. What'd you put? Treat your family with respect and love, because kids are people too. Well, have you ever been in the grocery store and seen how some people treat their kids? It's appalling to me. It's like I wouldn't even treat my dog that way. So that's what got me thinking about this, because we always treated our kids like they're people. They're human beings. They're God's children. They're important. They're special. They're valuable. Kids are our neighbors. I talked last year about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, right? And kids are our children, yeah, and we have a responsibility and a job to do with them, but they need to be treated also as God's children and as people, right? We don't need to belittle them, yell and embarrass them even when we're in public. Like, we just have to find ways to deal with things that will honor and respect them, though, still, too, because it's ugly. It's ugly how some people treat their kids, right? So we need to treat them in a loving manner. We need to practice manners. Okay? Please and thank you. Our kids deserve, when we ask them something, to be treated respectfully with please. When they do something well, thank you, right? Complimentary also, you know, give compliments. Kids are sponges. They're super smart. They know how to push our buttons and pull our strings, that's the word. They knew they pulled something. So we need to work on patience, because I think that's, and try and nip things in the bud. If things are starting to get annoying or irritating, talk with the kids about it and try and get things under control before it gets out of control. because that happens easily, especially at certain points of development. Don't give your opinion. I think this is more so as the kids get older and you have adult children. Don't give your opinion unless or when nobody wants it, is the pointer. But unless they ask for it, or I know we all want to help and we can maybe see things but that they don't see, which could be helpful, but sometimes it's just we do things differently and sometimes they have to learn themselves or they just are going to do things differently, right? Like, our way is not the only way, so be careful about meddling and giving your opinion to your kids too often, especially the grown-up ones, you know. They'll come to you if they need help. Well, hopefully they will, right? But try and just watch.
It's their choice if they do or not, right?
Yeah.
We raise them to make good decisions.
Yeah.
That's what we raise our kids, to make good choices. So one of the good decisions they can make is come to you and ask. But they don't have to, right? When we release them as adults, they're adults. So let them be adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can always pray. Talk to God about it.
We'll get to that.
And pray for an opportunity if you need one. My last little point in this is hats. You know how we all wear hats? We wear different types of hats. We're an employee. Maybe we're a manager at work.
Right.
And then we come home and I'm a mom and I'm a wife and I am a daughter. And this is one of the most challenging things I find is that we need to remember that we're a mother and a father to our children when they're young, but we're a partner to our spouse.
Right.
So we can't be treating our kids, our spouse, the same as we treat our kids,
right?
We can't be trying to train. And I find this challenging.
It's a good point.
I find it challenging because, yeah, and at work I have some people under me that I lead a team, but at home I lead the kids, but I'm not his boss. And
Right?
You're not my boss, really.
You're probably more my boss than I'm your boss.
Well, but that's the problem. So I'm trying to bring out here is that it's challenging. I know you used to say when you came home, yeah, I would be trying to train you because I'd be with the kids all day, and then I taught at school a bit. And so you just have that teaching hat, and it's really hard to adjust and realize, okay, he's my partner, and we're in this together, and I'm not trying to tell him all his jobs he needs to get done too, and
I'm the boss, right, hon?
Yep.
If you have to ask that, you're probably not.
But we need to be encouraging to all. Everyone in our home, in our family needs encouragement from.
It's true.
I was going to say least to greatest, but I don't know if there is a least to greatest. So they're all awesome and great. So, yeah.
And I think everybody in the home brings something to the home, right? There's been a lot of things I've learned from my kids. Like, there's been a lot of things. And mostly now, my kids are, both of them probably more educated than I am. They have a lot of life experience. They've seen the world in a whole different way than I've seen it. And especially in the times we live in, their way they look at things is very valuable to me. And I can learn a lot from them. So I want to respect them as my kids, but also as people who have knowledge, right? And so we talked last week about building an atmosphere for our homes. And one of the things that I talked about was humility. And so, like, that's a big part of treating kids with respect is us having a heart of humility toward them. It's like we're supposed to be humble. All of us are supposed to put on and clothe ourselves in humility toward each other. So being humble and being able to not feel like you're the big deal all the time and that you're the fount of all wisdom is challenging, right? But we need to grow. We need to keep working at it. We need to develop. So we need to learn, though, to treat our kids with respect and honor. When your child asks you why, I know, when I was growing up, a lot of people, when their kids ask why, they say, just because. I said so. Can I just say this without offending people? I'm going to offend you anyway. That's a dumb answer, because I said so. Well, what do you teach your kids when you say, because I said so? Well, so now I'm going to be an adult. I'm in the real world, and so I don't want to do this because I've been trained not to do it. Well, why don't you do it? Well, because my mom said I because she said so. Well, that's dumb. Give information. Talk about it. Every experience is a teaching experience. So, like, take time and explain to your kids. They're part of the process. They're helping you to grow. So, like, when Christine and I got married, I was, like, a pretty immature guy. And God said he called us together so that we could both grow in him. So she rubbed some of the rough edges off me. I've rubbed some of the rough edges off her, maybe. I don't know. But, like, so we've become better together. It's one of the things I'm really excited about with Levi and Jim when I watch them. They're better together. And so that's our goal in marriage, is to become better as a couple. Christine can be really open with me. We have times, though, when we're not good at talking, but we keep talking, right? Sometimes there's tears, sometimes there's anger, but we talk it through. Because as soon as you stop communicating, as soon as you stop talking, one of the things we're most afraid of in our culture is confrontation. But really, the only way to grow is to be confronted. To be confronted with who you are, what the next step is for you. So, like, a lot of times as parents, we ignore, and then all of a sudden we're confronted with this huge problem, and then we don't know how to do with it, anything with it, so we just yell. Instead, communicate to your family. Communicate. I communicate to Christine what I need. She communicates to me what she needs. We don't get this perfect. I'm just telling you, we're not perfect, not by far. But we're trying to keep growing and show love and respect to each other, because that's one of the big, you know, scriptures. You can look it up. I'm not going to read it right now. Ephesians 5, verse 28 to 33. I actually might get Frank and Marlene. I haven't talked to them about this yet, but just to talk about that in a couple of weeks, just a little bit about the whole love and respect thing, and that'll help you with your kids too. But, like, so we need to respect people, because here's the problem. When you don't show respect, you build walls. You close doors on relationships. And so, like, when the kids are little and you don't show them respect, they're still going to love you and admire you and look up to you, right? Like, a little kid always wants to climb on his parents' lap, always wants to have that extra bit of love. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as they hit their preteens, if you haven't built some kind of a relationship and a rapport and some kind of respect between you, they start pushing you away. And then I have parents come to me, because I've done youth for, like, 34 years before Judah took over. I have parents come to me and say, I don't know why my kids don't talk to me. Well, partly because you never showed them any respect as children. And now they don't want to talk to you. I'm sorry. And here's the thing, because I don't want to throw up walls for you either. Whenever we've done something that didn't work out in our past, something we believe that was wrong, we figure out, okay, I didn't do that well in that area, the first thing we need to do is repent. We just need to go to God and say, God, I blew it. I could have done better. Maybe I didn't know. A lot of times we just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But when you find out, you say, well, I didn't do that. I repent. And then you go to your kids and you say, like, I could have done better. I'm really sorry. I love you. I want the best for you. Will you forgive me? In a spirit of humility. And that heals things so beautifully. Right? So don't give up. Don't say, well, I didn't do it right, so it's all going to be wrong for me. Because it doesn't have to be. Your family can be a beautiful thing. And if your family's a beautiful thing, it casts ripples out, and it changes the world. It's powerful. It's really important. We can't give up. We got to keep going at it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And just watch what you say about your kids to others, right? Allow them their privacy. I mean, everybody has their struggles and issues, but if you're talking about it with all your friends, it's not very respectful to your kids, right? So watch what you say. Something else I was going to say, and now I forget what it was.
You can come back to it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are we going on?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I can't remember what that was.
You want me to go ahead? Or are you going?
Are we going to point three now?
Go to point three. You can always come back when you remember.
Okay.
Well, maybe,
I don't know, respect their stuff too, right? Like,
yeah.
Respect, just give them space, give them some privacy. We do have open door policy in our home with the bedrooms and that sort of thing. Like, we can go in any time, but I try and stay out and just.
Yeah. And even on that topic, though, if your kids have phones and they're young, you should have their passwords and you should examine their phone from time to time. Just to be realistic, just for safety for them and for your own peace of mind, you should have that. And I think, like, even young adults, if your parents say to you, hey, let me see your phone, you should be willing to show them your phone, because you shouldn't have things on there that you're embarrassed for your parents to see. honestly. If you're embarrassed for your parents to see your phone, you probably need to do some time in prayer and get yourself straightened out, because we all need accountability. Like, my phone sits around all the time. I don't password it, because I want Christine, if she wants, to go look at it. She can look at my search history. She can look at anything she wants, because I want my life to be an open book. If I'm open and transparent, it's easier for her to trust me. Yeah.
Okay, next point. I have to look, because I don't know what you put. Expect mistakes, admit mistakes, and practice forgiveness. So, I don't think God expects perfection out of us. He expects that we try, that we live with His strength, because He knew we were lost and needed help. That's why He sent Jesus. So, we're all sinners. We need to live humbly, realizing that we're going to make mistakes as parents also, mm-hmm. as partners.
Yep.
So we need to be quick to forgive others that wrong us and not curse them. We talked about cursing, and the way I know this is in our home, but I find sometimes it's easier. This is about outside our home. It's easier to curse strangers sometimes than those we know, because I just think about when we're driving or when we're at the store. Like, if it was a friend that cut me off in the parking lot out here, I'd be, oh, hey, no problem. Like, right, whatever.
I wouldn't. No.
Uh-oh. It's a good thing you're the last one to leave every week.
Yeah.
But I find when we're driving out in the road and someone cuts you off, you're like, I mean, I say bad things, like, you idiot. Like,
she does. I've heard her.
Right? But yeah, but God's dealt with me on that, because that's cursing someone,
right?
And I don't know that person. I don't know what they're doing.
That's
Jesus
true.
Wouldn't do that. So, and your kids hear that if they're with you.
Yep.
And what are you teaching them? So, I mean, in the grocery store, too, we need to practice patience all around, right? And realize, hey, when you get out, get in your car, you're going to meet up with people you're going to want to curse. But God does not want our mouth speaking curses,
right?
His praise should ever be on our lips.
Amen.
And when we curse men, that's really cursing God. God takes that personally, so... We need to try, and it's super hard. So if you want a big challenge when you're out and about this week, when someone steps on your toes and gets in your way, bless them.
Right.
It's hard. But it'll make you grow, and it's godly.
True.
Because they're strangers to us, but not strangers to God. So.
Right. So the deal about kids is they don't know what they don't know. Kids don't know. That's why the Bible said, train up your child in the way they should go, and they won't depart from it when they get old. We look at kids sometimes now like they have this vast wealth of knowledge. They don't. Kids are going to try stuff. If you told me my kid did this, and I was foolish enough to say, no, my kid would never do that, that's foolish, right? You got to think about it. You got to say, well, yeah, that's a possibility, and then you need to talk about it with them. You need to kind of clear the air, because sometimes they would do that, because sometimes I did that, and you did that, and we all do that. Even with our vast knowledge, right, we all still make mistakes. We all still fall down. We all still, like, we don't get it right. I don't know about you. I don't get it right every time. I'd love to say I do, but I don't. The problem is that many times parents, though, derive their identity from their kids and how their kids do life. So when our kids don't do everything right, we feel less as a parent, and then we want to protect our own feelings about ourselves, so we ignore what our kids do wrong so we can preserve our own identity. And that is like, and I'm just going to tell you one thing. This is something you need to take to prayer often and regularly, even as with adult kids now, is God... My heart, right? The heart is deceptive above all things, right? So I need to be able to keep focusing in and saying, God, is that what I do with my kids? Because I don't want to do that with my kids. It's not going to help them. I want my kids to grow. I'm not going to fall over dead if they do something stupid. Like, honestly, I did so many stupid things growing up, and God's still using me. And I'm still pretty, you know, loving God and loving people, right? But I did a lot of stupid things, like unbelievably stupid things, right? So I'm just saying, because, like, it's okay. My mom, you still proud of me a little bit? Yeah. Like, you know, and she had to watch me do a lot of stupid things. Like, I broke my lunch pail on the front of the bus, you know, when I was a kid. I had a temper tantrum, and I hit the front of the bus, and, you know, everybody in the neighborhood could hear my lunch pail smatter, you know, because I was mad, and I was lost it. And I was, but I've done, so I'm just telling you, like, don't let your identity be in your children. Even if you've raised your kids right and they've strayed away from the Lord, don't let that be your identity. Stay in faith. Keep trusting God. Use your words properly. Don't be meddling, as Christine said, but just keep, you know, keep going after God. Keep going after them. Expect mistakes. Admit mistakes. Yourself admit mistakes. In our homes, the only way our kids are going to learn how to handle mistakes is to watch us handle mistakes. As Christine already said, when you're, you know, like how you deal with people in the car, how you deal with people like in real life. My kids see me go through stuff. Whether you think your kids see it or not, they do. Right? Like you think, oh, my kid doesn't know anything about my life. Well, they know it all because the walls are pretty thin. And when you think you're not, they're not hearing you, they hear you. Right? So admit your mistakes and repent to God, repent to whoever you need to repent to, and let them see you doing well. Let them see you doing it right. And then the next one is forgive, right? One of the greatest struggles people have in life is forgiveness. How many of you have ever struggled with forgiveness? Like one, two, three. This week, this morning. No, all of us have struggled. Like probably some of us are here this morning struggling with forgiveness with somebody. But if we train the kids when they're young, right, to freely forgive easily, it's a lot easier. Things that we learn when we're young, it's just so much easier. So be a forgiving person, right? Let go of perceived wrongs and things done against us, either on purpose or by accident. I would say most people hurt you by accident. Most people don't do it on purpose. Even though when you think it all over your head and you reread the note, and you put the situation, flip it over, you're convinced that they did it because they're diabolical and they wanted to hurt you and they maybe kill you. But the truth is, most people hurt you by accident. You got to just let it go. Even if they did it on purpose, let it go. Because it's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt them. So we need to teach the kids how to forgive. Forgive your kids when they do wrong. Like, honestly, there's nothing worse, you know, than when you've done wrong, you said you're sorry, and then somebody keeps going on and on and on and on and on. I heard you the first 15 times. Stop it already. Like, okay? Like, stop it. Forgive. Move on. Because if you keep bringing up the past, you're going to create resentment in your kids. In Psalm 103, verse 8 to 13, it says, "The Lord is compassionate, merciful, patient, and always ready to forgive. He will not always accuse us of wrong or be angry with us forever. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins." Listen to that. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins. We should not always treat people as they deserve for their sin, right? But or paid us back for our wrongs. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that is how vast his mercy is toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our rebellious acts from himself. As a father has compassion, again, listen to this, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. This is what the Lord is like. The Bible wants us to be like him. Wants us to be like him.
Just remember what's important. I've been guilty of losing my temper a few times when the kids have spilt their glass of milk, or I had one that thought it was a good idea to color on the wall. Stuff like that. But just remember, what's more important, your house or your children, right? So our example and how we react to things is way more important. So I don't worry anymore if my house is perfect or has marks on the ceilings. I got fingerprints all over my ceilings downstairs. It's
Because Logan's like 7 feet tall.
I think he brushes.
He walks
his,
with his
actually,
feet and his hands at the same time.
It's a bit low down there. They both almost knocked themselves out a few times, jumping up and down and bashing their heads super hard on the ceiling. And we laugh about it, but.
I laugh about it. She doesn't laugh.
So, I mean, we've got a hole in a door and we've got stuff, but I'd way rather have a house lived in because
true.
I don't care. I'm leaving my house here. My house is going to rot and go to nothing. So, but my family is in my heart, is with me. My family lives forever with me.
Right.
So just focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Don't get caught up in temporal stuff. Even dents in cars go away. If you ignore them.
And if you buy cars like I buy cars, you won't care.
Oh, we don't care. Okay, point four.
Go ahead. You want me to start?
Okay.
Go ahead. All right, I'll start. I don't think, so the next one is pray always. I don't think we fully understand or will fully understand the power of prayer until we pass from this life to the next. I think when we see what prayer has done in our life, poor bug. So now he threw me off.
I'm sorry. It's getting too close.
I think that if we would learn to pray in faith, that what if we, let me, I want to get this, these words right, and I think I wrote them wrong. If we learn to pray in faith, that what we pray, submitted to the will of God, will come to pass, then as believers, we could shake the world. Here's the problem. A lot of times we pray, but it's not the will of God. Like, I like what the little guy said, right? Tell them they can do it. Tell them you believe in them, but not if they can't do it. And there's things in our life that we're called to do by God, and there's things in our life we're not called to do by God. And oftentimes we're praying for things that are out of God's will for our own life. Now, there's things that are God's will that are simple things, like praying for the sick and all these kind of things are really easy things. But a lot of times other things we pray for, we pray because we want something and it's not in the will of God for us. So you need to really, like, learn to pray God's will over your children. So, like, when I was young, I was excited about being in ministry. And I had some friends who, you know, really loved God and pastor and kind of prophetic gifts, and I wanted them to lay hands on my boys and call them into ministry when they were three, you know. And so, like, they're like, no, 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 that's not wise. And now that I'm older and they're older, I'm like, no, 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 that's not wise, because they have to discover God's will for their own life. They have to follow God's pattern and God's plan for their life. So I could pray all kinds of things for them, and if it's not God's will for their life, it's, you know, it's really, it's not going to come to pass, and it's not going to give you much confidence in prayer. We need to be sensitive to God. And here's the thing. It's Pentecost Sunday today, the day the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. So we can seek God's will, and He can help us to understand God's will, and we can pray according to God's will. But we got to pray for our kids. We got to pray. We got to. We believe. So as I said, I already pray that prayer, that scripture over them so many times, you know. Found in Isaiah 54, all my children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be the peace of my children in righteousness. They'll be established. They'll be far from oppression, for they will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come nigh. Because this is the inheritance. This is what my inheritance, their inheritance is. The Bible says their righteousness is from me. This is powerful. But I prayed that scripture over them for like 20 years, right? I prayed that they would walk in God's plan for their life. I prayed that they would find the right career. I prayed that they would be a blessing to us and to others. I prayed that they would be contributors and not consumers. I prayed that they would love the church and that they would serve God through the church, because that was God's design for reaching the world. I prayed that for their success in relationships. I prayed that they would find the right woman to marry. And I prayed many other things. Instead of worrying, we prayed. Instead of fretting, we created by a prayer and faith a world for them that would be secure and in God. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8 says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then because you belong to Christ Jesus, because You belong to Christ Jesus. God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and feel. Finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is holy, whatever is friendly and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise.
Some other scriptures I use to pray over Ralph and the boys. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot these down and look them up and find a version that you like, and you can speak them out over your family. So there's Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. These are powerful words, and if you speak them, power. You can really make a difference. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. And really, you can pray any scripture. These are actually specific prayers that Paul was praying for people in the churches. But you can pray any scripture. We had a speaker once that taught us, spoke about how to pray the scriptures. I mean, you can personalize and make any scripture into a prayer. So if a scripture sticks out to you for not only just your family, but for your circumstance, personalize it and make it a prayer, because there's power in God's word when you speak it out and when you pray it. And don't negate your prayers with your words. When you pray, the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. So we pray in faith, and we need to continue walking in faith, right? Don't pray for things to be better or for healing or for your kids to improve and then go and talk about how bad they are the rest, or even think it. Thinking, you got to get control of your thoughts too, but especially when you speak things, right? Our words are powerful. So speak, watch what you're saying. Make sure your speaking lines up with what you're believing for, what you're standing in faith for, and with what God's word says. So we negate our prayers. So if you're going to take the time to pray, which is a good use of time, don't trash it by your trash talk, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 19. This is my last little point here. I know we're getting long. Says, be unceasing in prayer. Oh, this is the Amplified. Yay, Amplified. Pray perseveringly. Thank God in everything. This goes back to thankfulness. No matter what the circumstances may be, thank God in everything. Not necessarily for everything, but in whatever you're in, thank the Lord that he's there with you and he'll help you get out if you need to get out. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 19. Is that where we're at? Yes. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. So when we don't pray, we're quenching the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work when he's invited. So if you're not praying, then the Holy Spirit isn't having free reign in your life and in the lives of those around you, in your kids, right? Those who you could be praying for. Also, if you're not thankful, you quench the Holy Spirit. So pray and be thankful, and then trust that no matter what you're seeing today, that God's at work and things are happening that maybe you don't see yet. But God's working, God's moving. Focus on God. Don't focus on the problem, because God's bigger. God's always bigger than anything. And he's able to, through us, to bring about good things in our lives.
So sometimes we struggle in life. And sometimes that struggle is just because the world is a tough place to live. There's so many outside circumstances that come into our homes and stuff. But sometimes the problems are self-inflicted. Sometimes we just do not give enough attention to planning, to prayer, to all these things. And one of the greatest things in life that God's given us is prayer. It's to be able to speak to him, to open our heart to him, to have faith in him, to trust him, and to care, you know, about what his kingdom really says instead of what we say. Like, some of these principles we talk about are just common sense, but there's things about, you know, life. Like, we taught our children, you know, to obey the Lord. and to obey us. We were fairly strict parents, but we were fun, and I think we were fun.
Yeah,
we were okay. Yeah. Anyway, we tried to be fun, and we tried to enjoy, and our kids, we still enjoy each other. We love each other. But we drew a pretty hard line, and we confronted when things were going wrong. We did. We set out like a kind of boundaries. We, as I said in the first message, you know, like we have values that we live by as a family, and we keep to those values. And so, like, what I would really challenge you to do now, though, is we're going to talk a little bit more about families. Next week's Father's Day, we're going to talk about being a dad. I'm going to probably ask for a little help from a few guys here. But like, we need to apply these principles. We need to live out life God's way. So many times, like, I remember years ago, you know, we did marriage weekend once a year, and I would encourage people that I knew was struggling in their marriage to come out to the marriage weekend, because we knew it was a good way to grow. We knew it was going to be scripture. We knew it was going to help you to be better in your marriage. And sure enough, the people, like, some people were like, oh, no, I don't need that. You know, and then 2 weeks later, they're sitting in my office, like, with marriage problems. I'm like, hello, you could have come to the marriage seminar, right? And it would have helped you. You'd have got. But so we hear scripture, we learn scripture, but we got to live scripture. And it's just, I just want to just say, like, you know, pray. You know, if I would say one big takeaway from this morning would be, well, two, is the importance of words in prayer. Like, those two things are so, so important. So I want to close in prayer. If the worship team could come forward, because we've talked a lot about quite a few things over the last few weeks. And if you want us to pray for you, we'd love to pray for you. If you don't, that's fine, too. But if you'd like prayer, we'd like to pray for you as a family. And also, you know, if you need prayer for your healing or anything like that, come on forward. But then we're going to close up after that. We won't be long, okay?